This episode is made possible by purchasing resources through the Creation Science for Kids store.
Welcome to the Creation Science
for Kids
show. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Psalm 111:1-4. This is episode 9 of the podcast where we learn about Jesus, our Creator, and his amazing world. Hi, I'm Sherry Fields, your host, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts, Joseph.
Hi.
And Samuel.
Hi.
Today we're going to look at how the Earth is like your old pants and shirts. We'll see how engineers have learned a little of how the armor on Leviathan, the fire-breathing water dragon, could have been designed. Then we'll share with you some exciting water and air experiments we tried out today. It's a great episode, and I can't wait to get started. But first, I'd like to ask you for a favor. If you have an iTunes or Stitcher account, please take a minute to leave us a review. This will be great for helping people find our show and an encouragement for us. Thanks. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 102. I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Okay, so it tells us that of old God laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. We can understand that pretty well, right?
Yes.
Yes. They shall perish. That's something we know. Everything is wearing out, breaking down, not working as well. But thou shalt endure. That does not happen to God. He never gets old. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. Now I'm reading out of the King James, and we don't use wax too much unless you're learning about the moon. We still talk about the moon waxing and waning. Wax is the old word for grow. So everything that God has made will grow old like a garment. What's a garment?
It's like your shirt or your pants.
Uh-huh. Your clothes. Same with vesture. It's poetry, so they used a synonym instead of the same word again. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Now, you guys know what happens to your pants and shirts when you've worn them for a long time. Samuel, you've got a shirt that you really like, but it's getting all what?
Torn.
All torn. And what happens if you fall on your knees in your pants? What happens?
It rips.
It rips. So
it's making a hole.
Right. Sometimes we have to just throw away our clothes. We can't even give them to the thrift store when you've outgrown them because they have waxed old. Now, if you think of that, your clothes that have gotten old and worn out and gotten thin and holes in them, that's what's happening to everything that God has made. The earth and the heavens are all getting old, but God isn't. We're going to look at some ways that we can see that things are getting old. I recently got a subscription to the Creation Ministries International Creation Magazine, and it always has wonderful articles in it, including a small section for children in the middle. But there was another article near the beginning that caught my eye in this issue, talking about the earth waxing old. Both of the articles I'm going to be talking about today are by David Catchpool. So whoever he is, I'll have to get to know because he sounds pretty cool. But he's from Australia, and he was talking about when he was a young man, he and his family went out because he was already very interested in geology, and he was creeping near the edge of a cliff, laying down in his stomach so he wouldn't fall, but his dad called him back because he was worried that the rock might crumble. Now, at the time, David thought that these cliffs had been there for millions of years, so they'd probably be there for another million. What was there to worry about? But since then, he's learned better. Let's look at some of the things that they have in Australia that have already broken just in the lifetime of your mommy and daddy. Here is what used to be called the London Bridge. Somebody took this picture back in 1989, and it used to be two sea arches where the water could flow underneath, and people would walk out across this bridge and out over these pillars. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Then one afternoon, while two people were out on the far end, the big arch near the land just collapsed down into the water, and it is gone. Now, that time no one was hurt, but he talks about some other places that in the past 10 years, 12 people have been killed in Australia when some kind of landform that they were near just collapsed and broke. Then there's another place in Australia where there are these pillars left behind along the seacoast that they call the 12 Apostles. Just 10 years ago, one of them, this one here, just smashed. See how it's just a pile of rubble now?
Yes.
So that's one of the things. If you're thinking it takes millions of years for these landforms to develop, then it should take millions of years for them to fall apart. He talks also about in Utah, in the western United States, there is a place that has so many arches. It's called Arches National Park. It had 1,000 of them, but in the last 45 years, at least 43 of its arches have collapsed. So if you have 43 falling down every 50 years, it's not going to take millions of years for there to be no arches left. Here's the coolest arch, landscape arch. It's already had some pieces where people filmed, like you can see along here, where the rock part of it crumbled. So far, it's still holding together. So it's still this huge, long arch. It's longer than a football field. It's 93.3 meters, which is 306 feet wide. And the full span is 132.3 meters, 434 feet long. And in places, that arch is only 11 feet thick, holding up rock. And you know how heavy rock is. That's 400 feet wide. So if you want to see landscape arch before it falls, you'd probably want to get there sooner rather than later, because it's not going to be there in a million years. Now, part of why I like this article by David Catchpool is I had noticed the same thing on my own. A few years ago, I traveled to Mackinac Island up in the north part of Michigan, and we took a tour where we got to see some of the interesting things around the island, and they had a stop at the Mackinac Island Arch. It's made out of limestone, which the limestone is fairly soft, so they would probably only say it's a couple hundred thousand years old rather than millions. But what I noticed was that the tour guide told us they don't expect that arch to be standing for more than 25 years. It might stand for another 10, it might fall tomorrow, or it might be in 25 years, but it's not expected to last much longer. And it's a lot smaller and thicker than that landscape arch we saw, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. They patch the edges as they can with cement to keep it from crumbling away, but they still know that it's not going to last much longer. And then there will be one last beautiful thing to see on Mackinac Island. And that got me thinking of how many other places are crumbling. A few years before you were born, there used to be a famous rock face in Vermont called Old Man in the Mountain. In fact, they were so proud of it that they had it put on their state quarter. But just a little after that, in 2003, there was a spring storm and ice and all, and the whole face collapsed. It's not there anymore. Everything is eroding, and it's happening in our lifetimes where we can see it. So when someone tells you that a feature took millions of years to form, what will you remember to decide whether they're probably right or not?
That erosion is a lot faster than millions of years.
All right, now something else. There was another article that David Catchpool wrote, and I thought it was cool, especially since we talked about Leviathan, the fire-breathing dragon, in our last episode. And he was talking about how engineers are studying the armor on fish and snakes, and especially crocodiles. They have pretty tough scales, and it's very hard. They can even reflect bullets. Sometimes you could shoot a crocodile with a bullet, and it wouldn't go through its skin. And that was what God told Job about Leviathan, that a spear can't pierce it, that his skin is very thick. So here's what they found. If they had something really hard, like they used for their experiment, they used little glass hexagons, and then they used the silicone underneath for the soft part, because what they found was that it had to be 1,000 times softer than the outer hard plate in order for it to work. What they found was that by using the small plates and then this sublayer that was soft and squishy, that it would be 7 times harder to puncture the same material if it was in a plate, a huge sheet. And they realized this would work because they saw the animals were doing it. So whatever God had for Leviathan with his strong scales, it must have been really something, because we know his design for the crocodiles and other animals we still have today is so well designed and effective for protecting them. All right, now it's your turn. What do you have to share with us today?
We did 2 experiments today.
Oh, goody. Tell us about it.
The first one that we did was we had this pop can and we filled it full of water and we started heating it up on the stove.
We filled it full of water?
Well, we filled the pop can with a tablespoon of water and then we put it on the stove and heated it up. And we had another glass bowl filled with some water, cold water. When the water was boiling in the can, then we picked it up and then quickly turned it over and put it in the glass bowl filled with cold water. And then the can scrunched up immediately, then flattened out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, we had done a similar experiment a couple of weeks back where we had the match inside. What happened that made the can collapse? Do you know? It's the same idea, except in this case, the can is much softer than that glass cup we used in the experiment last time. So what happened to the inside of the can when we flipped it over quickly when it had had boiling water in it?
It scrunched up.
Why? So we boiled water in the can. What did the can get filled with when the water boiled?
Can got filled with steam.
And then when we flipped it quickly, all that steam was still trapped inside. But what happened putting it into the cold water?
It sucked the water up.
It did, but why? What happened to the steam when...
It evaporated.
Evaporated? It couldn't. The steam
was... It cooled.
Yeah, and what happens to steam when it cools?
It sucks.
Condenses. It gets smaller. A bunch of steam, when it cools, shrinks into a much smaller space, making a vacuum. And what happens to a vacuum?
The pressure squashed the can.
Okay, now Joseph... Tell us about the experiment you did today.
I split water. Here's how I did it. I put 2 tubes filled with a graphite rod into a tray filled with salt water. I filled them with water and lifted up the closed end of the tube so that it didn't get any air bubbles into it. And then I had like these jumper cables and I connected the clamps, one of them onto the graphite rod, and another one onto a battery, and it had 2 of them. So one was attached to a positive, and one was attached to a negative part of the battery.
And what happened?
There were small little bubbles in the tubes.
Were they the same? Did they both bubble?
They were different.
How? Which one had more bubbles?
The positive.
Negative.
The negative had more bubbles than the positive.
Uh-huh. And once we set it upright, how long did it take to fill up the tube with hydrogen?
Took less than 10 minutes to fill the negative tube with hydrogen.
And what did we do with the tube once it was full of hydrogen?
You put a match underneath the tube with the negative. And
under the water?
Out in the open.
And I didn't tip it over because hydrogen
floats.
Yeah, hydrogen is lighter than regular air.
And then I think it had little bubbles or something.
Oh, it had a tiny flash. It had a tiny flash, but the match was a lot brighter than the flash. What did we find online where another guy did an experiment doing the same thing?
We watched a video where this guy was making a really fancy kind of machine
to split the water
and then pop the hydrogen. First, he showed us how to build it, and then he split the water, and then the hydrogen was in a water bottle, and then he put a match by it, and it went shooting off down the street.
Very cool. So, what is water made out of?
Hydrogen and oxygen.
Right. All right. Thank you very much. It's interesting. Both hydrogen and oxygen are very flammable. Oxygen is what a fire needs to keep burning, and you saw how flammable hydrogen is. And yet, the way God has put it together, H2O is so stable. We use it to put out fires. God is very smart. Now, to go along with your experiment, here's a joke for you. Did you hear about the chemist who was reading about hydrogen?
No.
He couldn't put the book down.
Why?
Because hydrogen is lighter than air.
So it floats?
Yeah, it goes up. It actually works better. Do you like science? Got a subject you want to learn about? Or maybe you like telling stories? If you send me a report, story, joke, or interesting idea, I might use it in a future show. Head over to creationscience4kids.com/podcast to contact me. Speaking of which, if you want to see those amazing arches that we talked about in today's show, you can visit today's show notes at creationscienceandnumber4kids.com/arches. Well, this finishes up our show for today. Until next time, have fun treasuring our amazing universe and creator. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11.